Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and I want to be your pastor. Amen. Like that guy wants to be your neighbor. Amen. So if I'm not your pastor, I want to be, all right? And yesterday we did the introduction of 1 Samuel, and today, this evening, we're doing chapter 1 of 1 Samuel with 28 verses, and we're asking the Lord to anoint this chapter. Lord, anoint this chapter into the spirits of everyone that hears. Anoint every word that is read, the translation, and all the everything that's said on this tape, Lord. Every bit of the commentary. And let it be for the building up of you within us, because the Word is God, is you. And the more of the Word, the more of you we get in us, the more powerful from yourself we have in us. And then we're able to do all things, and we're more than conquerors with you in us. So we ask all these things, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone gives a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, chapter 1, 1 Samuel, with the 28 verses. Okay, let's go.
King James Version, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. Verse 2, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children.
Well, that guy would be thrown in jail over here in the United States, wouldn't he?
Yes.
And he's had the great prophet Samuel was born of him, of his wife. Yeah. But how could that be, you know, like if he was in jail? What would we do with that? Then we wouldn't have 1 and 2 Samuel. Amen?
Amen.
So all these people keep saying, see how evil the polygamous marriages are. And look at here. Is this evil that Samuel was born?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Or what about the 12 tribes of Israel?
No.
Came from a polygamous marriage. What about Jesus? He came from a polygamous marriage, huh?
No.
Oh, listen, you. Satan, you know, that's what Satan does not like about the Word of God, because it uncovers his hideous deeds. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's continue on.
Verse 3, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Translation, verse 1 through 6. Elkanah and his family. There was a man named Elkanah. He lived in Ramah, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham and grandson of Elihu, from the family of Tohu and the clan of Zoph. Verse 2. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, while Hannah did not.
He had two wives. Bzz, that's a buzzword to the devil. Okay, what else?
Verse 3. Each year Elkanah and his family would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord God Almighty at the tabernacle.
Look at all the Mormons they threw in prison because they were married. You know, I think their doctrine is off. They got some things they say right. But a lot of their doctrine is just as crazy as it can be. But, you know, and the Muslims are as crazy as can be, but they've got that doctrine down. Okay? And what else?
The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli.
And they say, well, a lot of people say, well, if you're not a polygamist, how come you're preaching so much on it? Because You weasels out in the world are believing the gospel, the word of God, the wrong way. And when you read God the wrong way, well, then you're liable to read many things about him the wrong way, and you're liable to not be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because you have to receive the whole word of God. You're saved, and you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
So it's important for me to try to drive this home, because no matter how hard I try to do that, people keep thinking that, you know, if I'm going to say start driving home, if people didn't believe in celibacy or being a eunuch, well, then I'd have to drive that home as much as I do this. And also marriage at the age, you know, just so that the people are married, not fornication. I'm not condoning fornication, young, say, like girls that reach puberty with to go out and have sex out of marriage, but I am condoning marriage at the age of puberty when they're ready to have children. If they get married to a man that has the ability to take care of them and the children. Amen?
Right.
Now, there's something wrong with that?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to keep harping on that, because all these guys in the Bible, a lot of them were very old, and they got married to these young virgins. And yet that is like a sin in this world. They want young people to fornicate in school with young people and then to abort the children. And I'm going to keep harping on it until everyone in the world receives what the Lord says about that. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you're believing doctrines of devils, and if you do that, you're going to hell and into the lake of fire. Okay? So, let's get with it. Let's believe the word of God. Amen? So you can be saved. Believe on the word of God, and thou shalt be saved. You say, no, it doesn't say that. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. So that what that means, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, means believe on the word of God, and thou shalt be saved, the whole word of God. And if you doubt any of it, you're damned. And that's why there's so much trouble in the world today, is because people just believe different portions of the Bible. And people can't get together because they all have different doctrines. They all do what they think is right in their own eyes. And we have to all get together and assemble together in the Word of God in order for us to... We can't assemble ourselves with Catholics and their doctrine or Mormons and their doctrine. They have to... All of them have to assemble to the Word of God. Amen? We all have to come to God, and God is the Word. Now, any Mary worship, that's out. Any lighting of candles and all that's over with. Any confessions to these priests, that's over with. We confess now, we have a high priest, which is Jesus. We confess our sins to God through him. Amen?
Yes.
And we confess our faults one to another. Now, you know, in Buddhists and Muslims and all these other religions, there's so many of them, Shintoism and all kinds of stuff. Buddhists and name some others. You're not hip to it, okay? Yeah. Okay, well, there's so many of them, and you just all have to get together in the Word of God. See, some people start spacing out when I am bringing messages, so I have to ask you questions. And then I look at your face, and you're in a stupor, and you go, what? Is he really talking to us? Yes, I am. Okay? And it goes to show, you know, that you're not really listening, because Hinduism, okay? Isn't that another one? And Mary Baker Eddyism. And also... and what? I already said that you were sleeping when I said that one. Amen? Catholicism. Don't you remember I said that? Listen to the tape. And also, you know, Paramahansa Yoganandi-ism. And all the different isms in the world are no good. Marxism, communism, socialism, democratico-ism. Okay? What the government is doing is they're trying to get us to... finance the entire world into democracy, what they say is democracy for the Pope. We're paying, I think, some $84 billion to help out all these different countries, and it's all coming out of the taxpayers' dollars. They are deliberately breaking this country. They've taken all the industry out of this country and given it to China, Mexico, and other countries, and then they're saying that we have to finance, pay all these billions of dollars to Iraq. Bush just confessed that there was no weapons of mass destruction over there and that he made a mistake. Oh, I see. Well, tell that to all these thousands of people that were killed in the bombing. He made a mistake, but I'm sure everybody will forgive him. But see, with the Lord, there is no mistake. Amen?
Amen.
God doesn't make mistakes. And so we all have to say, instead of listening to all these different people that just are off the beaten track, some people call them phonies, we need to get together with the Lord because He's not phony. Amen?
Amen?
Let's all assemble into the Word of God and receive it. And there's so few people preaching the true Word of God in this world today. So, God called me. Because, you know, I'm just porky enough to give it to you the way it really is, okay? Because I could care less about what humans say about me or think about me. I just care what the Lord thinks about me. And you better think the same way, the Lord says, because if you forget Him, He'll tear you to pieces. You don't want God to tear you to pieces, do you?
No.
Because, like, you're not going to be able to hide from Him. You might run in the house and hide under the bed, but He'll be lying right next to you under there saying, hi. Hi. Amen. You can't run in the house. Amen. He's everywhere. Okay, go ahead.
The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. Verse 4. On the day Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the sacrifice to Peninnah and each of her children. Verse 5. But he gave Hannah a special portion because he loved her very much, even though the Lord had given her no children. Verse 6. But Peninnah made fun of Hannah because the Lord had closed her womb.
And some of you people feel that it's so important to have children. Okay, so right now I'd like you to hear it from, let's read from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1, because there is a consolation for not having children in the last day that you bear of yourself. But there are a great consolation in those that win human souls to the Lord. Okay, read it, please. Chapter 54, verse 1.
Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Hannah did not bear. Amen?
Amen.
Until she bore Samuel. But today, in these end days, some people don't bear children. But sing and rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child.
Yeah, those of you that never gave birth. Because a lot of women think it's still the Old Testament, you know, that they have to bear children, you know. Well, you do have to win souls. Amen?
Amen.
You bear children that way into the kingdom of God. Isn't that more important than bearing some child that might wind up in the electric chair and in hell? Amen?
Amen.
But if you witness to everybody in the world that you can, and some of them come unto the Lord, you've gotten them by the Lord in you into the kingdom of God. And those are your children. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so finish it.
For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord.
Yay, yay. Okay? So don't be sad. And don't be blue if God doesn't give a child to you. Okay? Go out and win souls. Those are the children that the Lord will give to you. If you sow, you will reap. Amen? You sow the word of God and you're going to reap. All right? Then what? Okay. Keep. Is that the end of it? All right. So read the next verse.
Okay. Verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations.
Yeah, just start building more and more places for them to live. Amen?
Amen.
Open your church to them. Expand. You could have as many children. Most women can't have more than 10 or 12 children. But you could have hundreds of thousands of children. Amen?
Amen.
And Susie had a child that was horrible. And it's got a couple of them. And then when we got married, we didn't have any children. She didn't bear any children. But we won millions of children to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
They were most of them were faithful to us, you know. Yeah, but to the Lord is the main thing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so keep going, just to finish that verse.
Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes.
Yeah, okay, let's go back to the point I wanted to make is that, in the Old Testament, that was really a great thing, a bad thing if you didn't have children, if you wouldn't bear children. But in the New Testament, if you're bearing children unto the Lord, if you're winning souls, that's sufficient. The Lord will be happy with you. Amen?
Amen.
Because we have to travail with them too. Amen?
Amen.
But not with bodily pain. Except that those of us that get persecuted for winning souls, sometimes we experience pain. All right, then what else? Besides, so does the unsaved people experience lots of pain too. Amen?
Amen.
Look at those Buddhists and Muslims that got it from the tsunami. That was pain too, wasn't it?
Yes.
All of a sudden you're sunning on the beach and all of a sudden you find yourself out in the middle of the ocean somewhere. Then you know you must die. And then you start calling out to God and then you see Him and hear Him laughing at you and mocking at you as you're going out into hell because you rejected the gospel. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat.
See, that's it. Today we don't have to. We just go out and witness and testify and we'll win souls. Amen?
Amen.
You bear children that way. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I have begotten you through the Spirit, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, he fathered them into the kingdom. And you can mother them into the kingdom and father them into the kingdom through the Spirit that's living in you. Amen?
Amen.
You can have all the children you want. Isn't that nice? Without going through all the travail, the crying and weeping and hurting and saying, I'll never do this again. All right, then what else?
Verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before...
See, these people were godly, and they know the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. But there's so many demonic people on the earth that need to hear the gospel so that they can become saved. And the worst ones are the ones that the Lord is after. I considered myself one of the worst ones. I believe you really have to be bad to get saved. And then you have to come to the awareness that you are bad. I already knew that I was, and so I didn't take much convincing from the Lord at all for me. And when he came down and I could feel his presence, it was like, I was so happy, I was fearful, almost scared to death, I thought I was going to die. But I was so thankful that there was somebody in the universe that was not an earthling. That was not wicked like the people here on this earth. Somebody that I could look up to and somebody that had power and dominion over everything, that had the power over my spirit, and somebody that could threaten me, because nobody threatened me back then. Nobody, because I just had such a violent reaction to anybody threatening me that I'd, you know, they would be parting their hair on the other side of their head. Yes, in case you don't know what I mean. Yeah, I just hire people to go and visit them. Okay, then what else? And I had the money to do it. I had some guys come and tell me that that somebody's got a hit out for me. They paid $5,000, and I said, well, I'll pay $10,000 to the guy when he comes over here to hit me, to hit the guy that's hired him. Okay? Because I'm sure I have as much money as whoever it is that's put the hit out on me. They wanted me off the air because I had this big record offer. I was the first one, and I... Back then, in those days, they didn't allow anybody else to be on the air but one record offer at a time. And it was during the Christmas time, which is the biggest record-selling time of the year, and I had all the airways tied up, and there's, you know, Roulette Records. It was Morris Levy. He was, like, you know, supposedly with the Mafia. I don't know. But, I mean, people were calling me, get off the air, kid. Get off the air. And then one time they sent somebody up. I loaned my apartment to Bob Baker and his girlfriend, Babette. We were unsaved. And she was a striptease artist over at a place in Hollywood. And a guy came up there and thought it was... Bob went out to get a paper, and he came in there and slapped her around. He thought she was my girlfriend. It's where's Tony? Where's the Jules? And he was slapping her all over the place. And she couldn't speak good English. She was just speaking French. I am not Tony. I am Bobby's girlfriend. I am Bobby's girlfriend. And I was staying at one of my other apartments in New York. And so this is how bad they really wanted me off the air. But I never did find out who it was. I tried. Okay? So this is... the type of person I was back then. But I was so happy when the Lord came down and says, look, you're a bitter guy, you know, and here, just soften up and let me enter into you and make you a new creature. And if I have compassion and on you as bitter and wicked as you are, don't you think you ought to be compassionate on others out there that are not as bitter and wicked as you are? And I thought, yes, Lord, I'll do anything you say. Amen? It scared me. And I keep remembering that all the time. Poor little lambs out there in the world that think they're so wicked. You are, but you need to repent. And hopefully you will when you hear these messages. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go on.
And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth.
In other words, he was watching her, and he thought she was drunk. She was, like, praying, and he thought she was talking to herself or had taken leave of her senses, I suppose. Then what?
Verse 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Translation, verse 7 through 13. Year after year it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Hannah would finally be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Verse 8, quote, what's the matter, Hannah?
Elena, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if people that wanted to win souls that bad that they couldn't eat if they didn't win a soul during the day? The whole world would be evangelized quickly, wouldn't it? If all Christians were like that. We have to bear fruit. We have to win souls. Amen? Because every tree that bringeth not fruit, and good fruit, shall be hewn down by the Father and thrown into the fire. Okay? Now that's the way we should be travailing over the souls that are not being saved every day. With the amount of people that we have and the amount of word that you people know, there should be a great harvest of souls every day of our lives. Amen?
Amen?
So you witnesses get out there. And another thing, too, I want... The Lord told me that he wants a crew of trackers to go out to Florida, especially Miami with that earthquake track, and also the mass suicide. Earthquake talks about, you know, very much of the thing that just happened over in Indonesia, and mass suicide about the same. When people don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, when preachers go out and travail over them and try to win their souls, they're committing mass suicide, because if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same as committing suicide. And the whole world is doing that because the whole world is deceived. They don't think they're supposed to do that. Okay, onward, Christian soldier.
Quote, "What's the matter, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be so sad just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Unquote. Hannah's prayer for a son, verse 9. Once when they were at Shiloh, Hannah went over to the tabernacle after supper to pray to the Lord. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance. Verse 10. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Verse 11. And she made this vow, quote, "O Lord Almighty, if you will look down upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." Unquote. Verse 12. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Verse 13. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. King James Version, verse 14. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee." Verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Verse 16. "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Verse 18. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Translation, verse 14 through 19, through 18. Quote, "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine!" exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 15, quote, "Oh no, sir!" exclamation mark, she replied. "I'm not drunk!" exclamation mark, "but I'm very sad, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord." Verse 16, "Please don't think I am a wicked woman!" exclamation mark, "for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." Unquote. Verse 17, quote, "In that case," Eli said, "cheer up!" exclamation mark. "May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." Unquote. Verse 18. Quote, "Oh, thank you, sir!" exclamation mark, she exclaimed. Unquote. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. King James Version, verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever."
See, the Lord answered the prayers of a woman that was married to a polygamist. Amen.
Amen.
And God raised up the Messiah out of the loins of many polygamists. Amen.
Amen.
So it's not a sin if God tells you to be one. But in the United States, if you are going to be one, if God tells you to be one, the Lord, when you know the truth, when He, it's the Holy Spirit tells you, the truth will set you free, amen, to do the things that the Lord tells you to do. But if you do it out of faith, then don't do it, because all things that are not faith are sin. Okay, then what else? I'm not saying, you know, like, they're letting homosexuals get married, and that's totally against the Word of God. But you're living in an antichrist society among them, but you're not part of it. You're part of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Yes.
You're living in that godly realm. So let God be your guide. The Spirit of God will not guide you in the wrong way. Go ahead.
Verse 23. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. Verse 26. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Translation, verse 19 through 28. Samuel's birth and dedication. Verse 19. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her request. Verse 20. And in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, quote, I asked the Lord for him, unquote. Verse 21.
And the Lord answered her, the wife of a polygamist. So, you know, the Lord doesn't answer sinners, does he?
No.
All right. Did the Lord answer Jesus?
Yes.
Did he?
Yes.
Why? He's from a polygamist marriage. Amen?
Amen.
Did God raise Jesus from the dead?
Yes.
Is the Pope Catholic? Does a bear live in the woods?
Yes.
Does a one-legged duck swim in circles? All right, then what?
The next year, Elkanah, Peninnah, and their children...
Well, you know, I'm trying to communicate to a low-mentality generation of people. You know, we have to get there so it sticks in your brain like the hair in a drain. All right, then where?
The next year, Elkanah, Peninnah, and their children went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 22. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, quote, Wait until the baby is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently, unquote.
Now, people think that the way the Lord has everything set up in this world, that he is sinful and you're pure. You're going to hell for thinking that. That's like blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to think that the Word of God is evil and that you pompous toad, are good. My, my. Okay, then what?
Verse 23, quote, Whatever you think is best. Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise, unquote. So she stayed home and nursed the baby. Verse 24, When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along 3-year-old bulls for the sacrifice, and half a bushel of flour and some wine. Verse 25, After sacrificing the bull, they took the child to Eli. Verse 26, quote, Sir, do you remember me? Unquote, Hannah asked. Quote,
Now here this child of a polygamous marriage is going right into the temple and is the prophet of Israel, and anoints Saul, and anoints David, and is used in such a mighty way that it's is a great profit. Amen?
Amen.
So, you devils out there, you think that's wrong? That God is wrong and you're right? Oh, you miserable wretches, you. God will have his way with you for sure. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Quote, I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. Verse 27, I asked the Lord to give me this child, and he has given me my request. Verse 28, now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. Unquote. And they worshiped the Lord there.
Okay, that was the 28 verses in the translation of 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, and now we've got some commentary.
Regarding the content of the book, Israel had been governed by judges whom God raised up at crucial times in the nation's history. However, the nation had degenerated a lot, both morally and politically. He had been under the merciless onslaught of the Philistines. The temple at Shiloh had been desecrated, and the priesthood is corrupt and immoral. Into this religious and political confusion steps Samuel, the miraculous son of Hannah.
This offspring from polygamous marriage is going to set Israel straight now. And hopefully he sets your pitiful, pathetic brain and spirit straight. Amen?
Amen.
Hopefully this word of God does that for you. Okay, then what?
In a remarkable way, the renewal and joy that his birth brought to his mother prefigures the same for the nation. The nation felt the same way about him as his mother did. Samuel's own sons do not show his godly character. The people do not have confidence in his son's abilities. As Samuel grows old, they press him to give them a king. Reluctantly, he does so.
Under the instructions of the Lord. God talks to him, talked to him when he was a little boy, and talks to him all the time. He never presumptuously did anything without consulting first the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Saul, a handsome and charismatic man, is chosen to become Israel's first king. His ego is as large as his stature. He impatiently steps into the office of priest, rather than wait for Samuel. After rejecting God's commands, he is rejected by God. After this rejection, Saul becomes a tragic figure, consumed with jealousy and fear, gradually losing his sanity. His final years are spent relentlessly chasing David through the wilderness, backcountry of his kingdom, in an effort to kill him.
Right. I've always, Sue and I have always said that insanity happens to people that reject the Lord. Because the Lord, if they don't have the Lord as their guide, the Word of God, anything outside the Word of God is absolutely insanity. You see, you analyze the things that people are doing and saying today and compare that to the Word of God and you'll see they're insane. Amen?
Amen.
When they really go overboard, I mean, I don't want to get into that tonight, but, you know, they start filling their houses full of cats and dogs, and they start, it's just on and on. I don't want to get into that right now. It's another whole story. Then what?
David, however, has found an ally in Saul's son, Jonathan, who warns David of his father's plots to kill him. Ultimately, when both Saul and Jonathan are killed in battle, the stage is set for David to become the second king of Israel. We can apply all these things in this book personally as we can all the books. It's very clear in 1 Samuel that God is at work in history. Even the most sinful and rebellious occurrences can be used by him to continue his divine plan. The corruption of Eli's sons and his unwillingness to deal with them, to discipline them, becomes the schooling environment for the child Samuel. Rejection of God and the demand for a king by Israel becomes the basis for the establishment of an earthly royalty, an earthly line that will bring forth the entrance of God into human history in the person of the Messiah.
Right, so, yeah. Another person that is of a, you know, the man that is the God himself coming from, and saw fit that he should come from a polygamous marriage. Amen?
Amen.
He wouldn't have it any other way. If he would have, he would have done it. Amen?
Amen.
But he didn't, did he?
No.
Okay. You agree?
Yes.
Case closed. Amen?
Yes.
Then what? Now will you buy my rice? Okay, then what?
Finally, Saul, who had such a wonderful beginning, ends his life in tragedy and suicide.
Yep. Okay. All that whole is all of Israel came out of polygamous marriage. Amen?
Amen.
Israel is Jacob. Jacob had four wives. All the tribes, including Judah, from where David comes, and the Messiah himself. And this secular Antichrist government that is run by Rome thinks that evil, thinks that is evil, and homosexuality is good. Now figure that out, but you have to figure it out according to the Word of God. The Word of God says it's the Antichrist, amen?
Amen.
This government. I had attorneys and they were interviewing me, the government, when they were trying to get me in prison, you know, on many accounts, many times. And they says, have you thought that the government is of the devil? That the government is the devil? And I was going to say yes, and my attorney says, don't say it, Tony, don't say it. I says, why not? They're asking me a simple question. He says, I forbid you to answer it. I said, but I've already answered it many times. Yes, it's the devil. Okay? I'm not afraid to say it. The attorneys were afraid to put me to say it. Every attorney I've ever had, don't say it. Okay? And then when I was in a courtroom in Miami, they had me in jail there. They were going to arrest me for... They trumped up this charge that I was going to hang a federal judge. I won that case. But the prosecutor got up and there was like the press there from everywhere in the world. And this prosecutor got up and says, Judge, don't let him out on bail. He says that the government, the United States government, is the devil. And people believe him. And all the press there, they had to set bleachers up in there because they were from China, everywhere. And they went, oh! Because it shocked them for this prosecutor to say that. And what the prosecutor didn't know is that it made my day. That really, here I was, you know, like going through this whole shtick over there. And the guy said that, and I says, oh, God, thank God, the press and everybody believes me, you know. And they didn't give me bail. They didn't let me get out on bail. So that was wonderful. Wouldn't you like to hear a report about yourself like that?
Yeah.
I did. Oh. Glory. Amen.
Amen.
Then what? Yep. You were right there, weren't you, Sharon?
Yes.
Did you hear him say that?
Yes, I did.
Did you hear all these press? There's several hundred of them there saying, gasping. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, God. My brother Danny was there. Oh, all kinds of different people were there. Some of the brothers, sisters. But you never hear about stuff like that. Amen?
Yeah.
Have confidence, folks. People believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Just keep preaching. Keep on preaching. Forget about it. Keep on trucking. Keep on preaching. Amen?
Yeah.
Preach the word. They'll believe you. All right, then what?
Yet because of Saul's insanity, David is brought forth from the sheepfold into the courts of the king. Saul's senseless jealousy and enraged pursuit of David provide the backdrop against which the greatest king of Israel, the, quote, man after God's own heart, unquote, comes to the throne.
Yeah, of a polygamous marriage. And then he himself became a polygamist. Amen?
Amen.
And his son became one of the biggest polygamists going, amen?
Amen.
King Solomon, the wisest man in the world. Now you figure that out, man. You know, according to the Word of God, God said he let that happen. He wanted it to happen. Then what?
But it is not only in the broad sweeps of history that God's hand is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
The following lessons are also evidenced in 1 Samuel. God steps into the pain and misery of Hannah to give her not only a son, but three sons and two daughters. Chapter 2, verse 21.
See, if the, you know, they're taking away "in God we trust" off as the currency here. If you trusted in the Word of God, you'd preach that and you'd receive what I'm saying here, because this is right out of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
But then how can you put on your currency without being a hypocrite, "in God we trust," if you reject all these things that I'm telling you from the Word of God? You're a hypocrite. You're a phony. And worse than that, you're lost. Amen? So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Don't attack me for preaching the Word of the true Word of God. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Jesus said, "I am the truth." Amen?
Amen.
I am the only way to heaven, the only truth, and the only eternal life. No man comes unto the Father, the kingdom of heaven, but by through me, the Word of God. So if you reject the Word of God, you're just cutting yourself off from heaven. You don't like that, O deceived one, do you? Well, you have to like it. Like it or lump it. If you lump it, don't do that. Receive it. Amen? Okay, then what?
Though men look on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart.
Amen.
Chapter 16, verse 7. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Chapter 15, verse 22 through 23. Indicating that God is concerned about men's hearts as well as their actions, because out of their hearts is going to come the actions. God does not spare even those in high position when they have sinned, but he is still a God of patience and will forgive those that don't continue on in sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in the book. The similarities between Jesus and the boy Samuel are striking. Both are children of promise. Both were dedicated to God before birth. Both were the bridges of transition from one stage of the nation's history to another. Samuel combined the offices of prophet and priest. Christ is prophet, priest, king, and judge.
And God. Amen.
Amen.
And what?
The tragic end of Saul illustrates the triumphant and the ultimate result of earthly kingdom. Triumphant, I say, because it is the Lord who triumphs over them and is going to destroy them. Earthly kingdoms shall not stand. The only hope is the kingdom of God on earth, whose ruler is God himself in Christ.
Which is the Word of God, which tells you what is condoned by God and which is not condoned by God. Homosexuality, I don't care, Old or New Testament, is absolutely forbidden and condemned by God. Okay? Not once has polygamy ever been condemned by the Lord. Never has it ever said, "No polygamy shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Amen?
Amen.
Find it and I'll eat the Bible without salt and pepper or Worcestershire sauce. And what else?
In David, the earthly image of God's king begins in Christ. God comes as king and will come again as King of kings and Lord of lords. David, the simple shepherd boy, prefigures Christ, the good shepherd. Jesus becomes the ultimate shepherd king. The Holy Spirit is seen at work in this book. 1 Samuel contains remarkable instances of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the prophets as well as upon Saul and his servants. In chapter 10, verse 6, the Holy Spirit comes upon Saul, who prophesies and is, quote, "turned into another man," unquote. That is, equipped by his spirit to fulfill God's calling. After David is anointed by Samuel, quote, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, unquote, 16 verse 13. The phenomenon of the Spirit's inspiring worship occurs in chapter 10 and chapter 19 verse 20. This was not the emotionalized raving of the pagans, but true Spirit-inspired worship and praise to God, not unlike what happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Even in the several uses of the ephod and the Urim and Thummim, we look forward to the time when the, quote, Spirit of truth, unquote, will guide us into all truth, tell us of things to come, and take of what is mine, Jesus said, and declare it unto you. John 16, verse 13 through 14. 1 verse 1. Ramathaim Zophim, usually referred to as Ramah, is 15 miles north of Jerusalem in the hill country. It was Samuel's birthplace, residence, and burial site. Elkanah, an Ephraimite, Levites were usually referred to by the tribal area in which they lived. Actually, lineage goes back to Levi. Thus, Samuel came from the priestly line of the Levites. Check that out in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 33 through 38. 1 verse 2. It was customary, though not sanctioned by God, for a man to take a second wife when his first wife was barren. 1 verse 3. Lord of hosts, Hebrew, Yahweh Saba, quote, God of the universe and ruler of the armies of heaven, unquote, is a name for God first used here in the Old Testament. It expresses the intimate resources and power with which God acts for his people. Shiloh is located about 15 miles north of Ramah. The sanctuary located there was more substantial than the tabernacle, having doors and doorposts, chapter 9, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 15, and was the place of pilgrimage, chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. Though the Hebrew text here is difficult, the sense apparently is that Elkanah gave to Hannah a double portion, treating her as if she had a son who would have received a portion. But he did it because he loved her, and giving her a wife a double portion doesn't mean that that would be the double portion that would be given to his son. It's a complete different thing. 1 verse 6 through 7. Her rival, Peninnah, provoked Hannah not so much to make her angry as to cause her turmoil and pain. The Lord had closed her womb. A woman in Old Testament times who could bear no children was viewed as cursed by God. For Hannah, this time of infertility...
But you're cursed now if you don't win souls. Amen?
Amen.
Because being hewn down and thrown into fire is a curse. A bad curse. Amen?
Amen.
So it's way more cursed not to win souls and be a good testimony for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Don't reject any of the Word of God. Receive it. Don't try to figure it out with your carnal mind. Your relationship to what ungodly antichrist government agents say. Believe the word and be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Believe God and live. Then what?
For Hannah, this time of infertility would end when God gave her a child. 1 verse 9. Tabernacle. Place is used of the tabernacle at Shiloh and of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 6, and denotes a dwelling place, not a place of visitation. 1 verse 11, quote, no razor shall come upon his head, unquote, is a part of the Nazarite vow described in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. It was normally a vow to separate someone to God for a specified period of time during which the hair would remain uncut. Chapter 1, verse 13, that Eli thought she was drunk, and that meant that he was misreading the pious movement of her lips, likely reveals the sorry state into which worship had degenerated under Eli and his wicked sons.
Usually if I see somebody praying in the church and no sound coming out of their mouth, I never think for one second that they're drunk. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, this is a holiness church and we believe that people pray. Amen?
Amen.
But this guy thought, man, it's no wonder he fell and broke his neck and his two kids got killed. Amen?
Amen.
Sorry, dude. Okay, what else?
Chapter 1, verse 16. Wicked, literally, quote, daughter of Belial, unquote, is the same description given in the next chapter about Eli's own son. Chapter 2, verse 12. It carries the idea of being good for nothing. 1, verse 19. Quote, the Lord remembered, unquote, does not imply that he had forgotten, but rather that he is now going to bring his answer to Hannah's prayer and unfold his purposes.
No, the Lord never forgets. Unless he forgets our sins, once they're covered in the blood of Jesus, and if we never commit them again, that's all. I mean, he doesn't remember them against us, but he knows about them. Amen?
Yeah.
Knows everything. So it's not saying that he doesn't remember them like he catches amnesia or something. He just doesn't remember them to bring them against you so far as the law is concerned. Okay, so don't think that God is absent minded like so many people we know today. All right, then what?
1 verse 21. Presumably, this is 1 year after Hannah's vow to the Lord God regarding her son. 1 verse 22, quote, until the child is weaned, unquote. That means until he was 2 or 3 years old. 1 verse 24, 3 bulls are brought for the 3 sacrificial offerings involved, the burnt offering, the purification offering, which was to follow childbirth, and the peace offering, see Leviticus chapter 12. An ephah is about 1/2 bushel, exclamation mark. 1 verse 28, quote, Lent, unquote, does not mean to give temporarily, but to give unconditionally in dedication to the Lord.
Lent means lend him to the Lord. It's unconditional. All right, then what else?
1 verse 1.
Service to the Lord. Okay, then what?
1 verse 1 through 11. In these verses, Hannah breathed the beautiful prayer through her tears. She admitted her helplessness and acknowledged her need for a power greater than herself. In faith, she not only committed her infertility to God, but she also vowed to surrender to God's service the son he might give her. 1 verse 11. All of us must realize that without God's intervention, we are helpless to overcome any of the problems or dependencies we might have. Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing.
Right. Like in the courtroom when there was so much bad publicity on us, false publicity, it was unbelievable. I knew that it was impossible for me to win that court case where they were trying to say that I had wanted to hang a federal judge, William Morris, the Honorable William Morris. And so I knew it was impossible. And the jury went out, and they took me back into a cell. And I said, Lord, it's impossible for me to win this case with all the bad publicity that's out on me. I know you can do anything. You're the God of all flesh. You can cause them to put not in front of guilty, all 12 of them, because... Lord, I'm going to ask you to control these people and make them put not guilty because I do not want to go to prison. I'm my wife is pregnant and all these different things, you know. I just brought my case to the Lord, and I just absolutely knew it was impossible. And he says, I will not let you go to prison. I will make them put not guilty, every single one of them, if you'll do 5 things for me. And I said, yes, I will. I said, what are they? He says, 1, write a new tract. Fast half the time. He said, eat half the time. He didn't even use the word fast. He says, eat half the time. So that means fast half the time also. Amen?
Amen.
Then he said, he'll want you to wash the brother's feet, everyone, and then I want you to be more tolerant with people. You know, don't be so quick to, you know, be more lenient with them and your wife as well. And I want you to write a piece of literature every month. And I said, I'll do it, Lord. The minute I said, I'll do it, Lord, they said, all right, Tony, the jury's coming in. They've made their decision. And it wasn't more than 5 minutes. And I knew it was not guilty because I agreed with the Lord. And I had poured out my heart. I was right up there at the throne. I mean, when you have a need and you know that it's impossible for you to do anything about it, and you get up there to the Lord with all your heart and soul, you'll get a hold of him. You'll contact him for sure, because this thing carried a 5 to 10 year prison sentence. And so I went in there and sat down, and here comes the jury in, and they were smiling. And one of them winked at me. I says, glory be to God. Says, I know. You know, that happened to me once before when I tore Medder's sign down out in Elma, Arkansas, because they were shorting out. They had their sign on our property, and I told them to take it down and told the electric company, and they wouldn't do it. And so it was our property, and they were shorting out our refrigeration units and everything, so I just had it cut down. He took us to court, and the jury came out, and they said, sir, did you do that on purpose? I said, yes, I did. You know, I did it, and I'll do it again, you know. And the jury just had a big beaming smile on their face when I said that, because they knew I was telling the truth, you know. And so Medder's were the big deal. We just moved out there. And they came back out, and one of them winked at me, and they had smiles on their faces. And it was not guilty, you know. I won. And they read the verdict off here, and I knew that I had won the case. It says, we, the jury, have found Tony Alamo not guilty. Praise the Lord. That's good to have such contact with the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
And this, you know, has happened before on many occasions. I mean, I get a hold of the Lord all the time. I wouldn't be without him for all the money in the world and all the tea in China, for all the world. I mean, it's just too precious to be close to him and too advantageous. You know, the advantages never end. Amen?
Amen.
And I've seen the accusers, and many of the people that were against us, they've all died. I mean, there's just one right after the other that died and gone on. So if I were you, I would never attempt to attack this church or me, because you're getting into some deep, not hot water, but lava, okay, brimstone, all right? Hot water is one thing, but this brimstone fella or girl, amen? Okay, you want to try it? Others have tried, and others have died. And I didn't do it. They were far away. Some of them committed suicide, and some of them have just died. One of them, they were going to write bad books about us, and we didn't do anything wrong. We supported them, took them out, got them off drugs and everything. One of them put a gun to his head when the Lord showed him what he had done. He killed himself. And then another one was up in the air, one of these big balloons, and the air went out of the balloons, went off air, and she became a grease box with two or three other people in the balloon with her. And they're dead. And no book. What happened to those books? Kathy and Ed, they didn't print them. Because they were in this work, and they knew, and we have testimonies from them praising this work and saying all the good things about it. Then the devil entered into them, and they just went out and said bad things. And they were going to write a negative book. And they were angry at me because Susie caught them both committing adultery in the church, and I put them out. And so they never liked me after that. And so they were going to get even. Well, they won't now. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
Learning to give up control of ourselves to the Lord and wholly depend upon God is a major step we all need to take. 1 verse 12 through 18. Hannah's prayer was misunderstood by Eli the priest. He assumed she was drunk when in reality she was taking a vital step toward recovery to receive what she really wanted from the Lord by admitting her helplessness and committing her infertility to God. Sadly, attempts toward recovery and maturity in faith are often misinterpreted, and the insensitive responses that we experience from others can be extremely disheartening. To her credit, Hannah persevered despite the criticism she received. Eli soon recognized Hannah's integrity and encouraged her in her prayer. 1 verse 17. No matter what discouragement we may face in receiving what we need and becoming whole in the Lord, where we take on His whole spirit, we must preserve our spirit and persevere. God will support us even if the people around us do not. About Hannah. Living in a dysfunctional family does not automatically mean that an individual will turn away from God. Neither does turning to God guarantee that the problems of a destructive family situation will go away. But eventually, if we stand fast in the Lord, He will save our loved ones. It's a promise. Reaching out to God, however, does not ensure that we will have a far better opportunity of coping with dysfunctional people in our lives, despite the devastating circumstances we live in. Hannah lived in a difficult family situation. As was typical in the Israelite culture during the times of the judges, Elkanah, her husband, had a second wife named Peninnah. Such a relationship, although it may have met certain needs, almost inevitably would lead to problems if a person were not of the Lord. Elkanah foolishly played favorites. He loved Hannah more than Peninnah. He was apparently unaware of the negative impact his particular partiality had on the relationship between his wives. Peninnah became jealous of Hannah and got back at her by flaunting the fact that she had children while Hannah didn't have children.
That was her weakness, not his. Okay, then what else?
Bearing children in ancient Israel gave the mother both personal fulfillment and social status. Hannah reacted with bitter anguish. No amount of comforting by her husband could relieve her pain. She wanted a child. In desperation, on a yearly pilgrimage to the tabernacle, Hannah silently poured out her heart, telling God of her grief. She pled for a son and vowed to dedicate him to God for his entire life. After admitting her helplessness and her need for utter dependency on God, Hannah returned home with a renewed spiritual confidence that God would grant her request. When God did give her a son, she named him Samuel, offered a prayer of praise to God, and fulfilled her vow by dedicating Samuel to God's service. God in turn blessed Hannah with additional children. Our only hope is to turn our life over to God, regardless of what you think the circumstances are, or whatever they are, and then allow Him to work His fullness in us and through us, and to heal everything that is flesh in us by filling us up with His Spirit within us.
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 1 of 1 Samuel with the 28 verses, the translation and commentaries. And I pray that you will trust the Lord as the prophets have, as Christ trusted His Father. And we trust the Word. All those that trust the Word of God shall be saved. So trust in the Word and give your entire self over to the Lord, because there's going to be times in your life that you're going to be so happy that you did. And it's just like anything else. If you don't practice applying the Word of God to your life, you will not be able to endure when the time comes, when the test comes. It's just like playing a musical instrument. You have to keep practicing until you know what you're doing. And you must practice applying the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to your life and walk in the Spirit. For there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So meditate and concentrate on the Lord all the day long, so that you will be more than able to stand another day in Christ. Until chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, this is Tony Alamu. I want to be your pastor, saying God bless you and praise the Lord.